Merry Christmas. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. We had a pretty quiet Christmas. Just our pizza. I know, right? Pizza and family and Jesus. So Terry, last week, talked about Jesus and who Jesus was, and we sang about Jesus just now, right? I mean, there's no other name like Jesus. When you just say his name, Jesus, how wonderful. There's no other name you can say that can affect you that way. Right? When you say Jesus, you're like, oh, Jesus. So how many got gifts this year for Christmas? I did not. No. Yes, I actually did. I didn't open a gift on Christmas. I did get some gifts. But God gave us the best gift of all, the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus. Jesus is our greatest gift. And sometimes I feel like I don't know, I feel really weepy this morning, but I feel like I've taken him for granted. Because he is just that much. Do you ever find that there's not words to describe how you feel? Oh, for 10,000 words to say how I feel about my Jesus. So, I love this time of year. I love it when you can go into Walmart and on the thing, there's joy to the world, the Lord is come, right? No other time in the year do you get to hear in Walmart or in a place that you're at that they're declaring joy, peace, love. Love has come. Isn't it awesome? I love this time of year. I probably should shut my phone off. Somebody's texting me. But listen to some of these, you know, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature. Do you ever sometimes just stop and think about some of these words? Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us. Never to leave us. How about this one? A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. A thrill of hope. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinner reconciled. I love it. So when you sing those things, it's not just singing it. You're declaring them. It's a declaration. You're speaking that. God and sinner reconciled. Joy to the world. So I want to get all experiential on you this morning. Kind of like Briley. She just spoke my message, by the way. So you got the short and condensed version there. Now you're going to get hopefully not really long. But I love Christmas because of this fact that I don't even know how many years ago it was, but I stood in my seat wherever I was, and I kind of, do you guys ever ask God questions that are kind of funny? Like, I was like, why would the shepherds come to see a baby? Why would the wise men come? You know, why would they come? It's a baby. That's just how I think. So I was standing there, and he said, well, why don't you come? And I was like, huh? And he wanted me to come to the front, because all of a sudden I pictured a manger up here. And I was like, oh. So I started to walk forward, and as I got to the manger, I looked, and there beheld my Savior. It wasn't just a baby. And I was undone by his presence. And I know Savior and change came to my mind. When I looked at him, I was like, wow. I looked up Savior. And it says, someone who saves a person or thing from destruction. And to save, to keep alive, to keep free, to keep safe or in good condition. He's my Savior. I was completely undone. But change was one that really intrigued me. So today, I just want to invite you into my experience to see and behold the King of Kings lying in a manger. Did you guys read, and some of you probably aren't on Facebook, but did you see the thing with the manger? I loved what that story was, how it was a sign to the shepherds that Jesus would be born, because the shepherds would put the perfect, spotless lamb in the manger to protect them, and they would wrap them. And that was the sign to the shepherds. I just thought that was, I was like, wow, I think that's really cool. So I want to talk about experiencing him, the change that happens when you experience him, and the power that comes. Okay? So when God gave us this greatest gift of all, he wanted you to experience him. Just like when I saw him as a baby, I experienced who he was, and he was a baby. A baby. Are you content with just knowing what you know of him right now? I love this body because I feel like no one is. They want to know him more. We want to experience him, experience his presence at all times. He's invited us, like the invitation that Briley was talking about, into the greatest encounter of love that we'll ever know, right? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know what everlasting life is? Eternal life. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know me, God, and Jesus. That's eternal life. Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. See, for me, it starts with Jesus, because he is the way, right? The truth and the life. It started for me with Jesus. I spent time with Jesus. I would talk to Jesus. I would picture Jesus. Sometimes I'd put a chair there so I could say, like I was talking to a friend. It started with me there. And then he moved me on to experiencing more, like Holy Spirit. How do you experience Holy Spirit? Do you see Holy Spirit? Do you feel Holy Spirit? In moving on, the Father, spending time with the Father. And then not even just in that, just spending time in the heavenly realms, in his kingdom. around the throne. Whew. Have you spent time around the throne? The throne room of God. And some of you may say, oh, I don't see, I didn't either until I just started doing it. I got a picture of Jesus. Does anybody know Achaion? Yeah, there, okay. Yes, who drew Jesus? Well, you know, the little boy Matthew that passed or died or whatever and then came back, and when he said that, you know, his mom and dad said, you know, because he talked about Jesus and he talked about things that, you know, a four-year-old would not know. So they kept bringing him pictures. Is this what Jesus looks like? Is this what Jesus looks like? Is this what Jesus looks like? And he'd be like, no, no. But when they showed him the picture that Achaion drew, he was like, that's what Jesus looks like. So I have that picture because I was always, as soon as I saw it, I was drawn to it. I was like, that's Jesus. So when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's really cool. But I have that picture so I can imagine in my, even when you're saying Jesus, I just close my eyes and I look and I see Jesus. Or if you can just keep your eyes, but see him, experience him, know him, feel his touch, feel his kiss. I know I've said this before, but one time he kissed me on the nose. And I was like, who kisses somebody on the nose? Well, it was that later that afternoon, my Mackenzie comes up to me and she sits on my lap and she kisses my nose. I was just like, God, you're just so cool. Feel, he wants you to experience his love, his touch, his joy, his presence, his goodness. He wants you to know him. The depths of him. There is so much to know. If you're in business, he can give you ideas for business. If you're, whatever it is you're doing, working with your hands, cook, he can give you new ideas, new inventive ways. If you'll just experience him, if you'll hang out with him, if you'll listen, if you'll make him be a part of every part of your day. He wants to know you. Sometimes I'm like, well, you already know me. But he like wants to hear me. He wants to experience me. That's why I think worship is such an experience with him. That's, he can see, he feels it and sees it and knows you through it. He wants to heal you. He wants to speak to you. Do you know he's continually speaking to you? Continually. Through the word, through others, through signs, through TV, through movies, through, it doesn't matter. I can be sitting there and God, you're just so good. And I'm watching a stupid show. Do you spend time with wisdom? Understanding the seven spirits of God. Just experiencing him. I think that we, in this time, are going to move into more experiencing of him and who he is and his kingdom than ever before.
Amen.
Are you in love with him? When somebody says Jesus, do you go, oh, yeah, he's mine. He's the lover of my soul, the song that I sing. This journey is all about learning to be one with him, learning to be in union with him. Learning his divine nature, being conformed to his image, right? Because every time you spend time with him, he changes you. Learning to walk in freedom, to walk in wholeness, to walk in complete peace. So experiencing him will bring about change. It brings about change. Being with him at any time is no waste of time. It's not a waste of time. I used to sometimes think, well, this was a waste of time. Maybe because I didn't engage with him. Engaging with him, be like, God, what do you want to do? Oh, you just want to sit here? Okay. That's cool too. But engage with him. One of the biggest things in my life was not focusing on sin. And I believe that was probably the biggest change for me. Because I would think about how bad I was or how I couldn't do it right. I couldn't live but he was saying, no, that's not it at all. He's like, this is who I get to be in you. It's just allowing me to do it. If you can change who you are, change from sin, then you become your savior. Right? 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if you walk with him, if you're with him, you have fellowship with him. You are in communion with him. And what happens? He cleanses you. He cleanses you from sin. Do we need to worry about sin? What do we need to be concerned about? Relationship. Being with him. You don't like something about you? Bring it to him. I like what she said. He's giving you an invitation. Bring it to him. Say, I don't like this. How do you see this? And he will show you. And he'll bring the cleansing that we also desire, right? He removes the things that hinder us. He speaks louder than the voices or words that hold us captive. It truly is amazing when you start having this happen. Because there's things that I dealt with in my life, like fear of man. You know, I would have never gotten up here and talked. You know, I was too afraid. But when I started hooking up with God and he started giving me things to say, the next thing I know is, will you speak? Oh, huh? You know, but now I'm like, I love to hear from God and I love to speak when he gives me something to speak. You know, and I love being able to be, I know I was struggling with a few things, few insecurities that I have, but I was like, Jesus, help me. And he's like, grab my hand. I grabbed his hand and I felt the power of who he was just flow through me and remind me of who I was. This is how he sees me. And I was just like, amen. This is who I am. I no longer identify with my old nature. He takes your perceived limitations and false beliefs and gives us his perspective. Okay, I have a question. It says that he will cause you to think new. He'll change how you think. Does anybody else have this, like, I couldn't think anything different? he couldn't possibly show me something different that I could, you know what I mean? It's almost like, no, I know it all. That's really what you're saying, though. Because you're really saying, no, there's nothing more that I can know about God. Oh, love, we studied love. I know all about love. Okay, and we laugh, right? Because we're like, yeah, right. Now, but the unknown is the fun part of it. It's the journey that you get to have with him. It's the journey of learning who he is and knowing who he is and knowing his ways. I'll give you an example. Mercy. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, they don't. Have mercy, God. Have mercy, God. And till I experienced it, do I understand more? So my friend asked me, will you pray for my son and daughter? They're experiencing like demonic things happening in their home, and they're not understanding why, and they know about God, but they're not saved. So I was like, okay, I'll pray. So I went and sat in my bedroom, and I said, all right, God, how do I pray? How do I pray about this? And he said, pray mercy upon them. And I was like, mercy? And he says, they won't get what they deserve. And I was like, whoa, mercy is that powerful? So I prayed, God, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. May your spirit just overwhelm that home, that no spirit that's not of you, Holy Spirit, could be in that home. And I just prayed that way. So I talked to her the next, she called me the next day and she said, I don't know what you do or, you know, what you prayed, but keep praying, because they haven't experienced and they want to know more about God. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So now I understand a little bit different about mercy. I had a cousin get into a major accident. He was not serving the Lord at the time, I don't believe. And I remember dropping to my knees in my bedroom, and I said, God, how do I pray for him? And mercy came out of my mouth. And he is alive to this day. I mean, he should have died. He is alive to this day with the family, and they're serving the Lord. So mercy, the power of mercy. Experiencing him. And it will bring change. All things new is your gift. You are a new creation, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God now, this is beautiful. God now, when he sees you, he sees Christ. He sees Christ. Does he see your sinful habits? He sees Christ. Okay, beautiful, right? His death purchased for us a freedom that is so huge. It's so beautiful. It's so unfathomable to me that I sometimes have a hard time comprehending it because I want to do it. When I don't realize that if I just bring it to him, do you know the first people that came, or the first person or one that came to Adam and Eve was God in the garden? And he said, where'd you go? Where are you? Well, we sinned. The reason sin separates is because we decide to be like, uh-oh, I did something wrong. He came to them. And then he made a way for them to live free. That is powerful. And that's what he can do for you. We think that we can work on our bad behavior or our bad attitude, right? Does it ever work? We can try to quit all the things that we're supposed to quit, but does it ever work? But I guarantee you that if you spend time with him, you will change. You will become more like him. And the desires that you thought, oh, those are such deep desires. I have to have that. You know, your desires can change. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse, because how it's said is it can be taken two ways. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's wonderful. Delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, the other way I look at it is delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What you desire, he will give you. He so longs to fulfill the desires of your heart and give you the desires of his heart, where you become one. Nothing can separate you from him. Like I said before, don't be sin conscious. Because what you focus on, you become, right? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get mad at my kids. I'm not going to scream. And what's the next thing I'm doing? Screaming at my kids. Don't focus on it. Focus on what God sees. Jesus. Right? And who Jesus is. Like Briley said, learning who Jesus is and who you are. I read the Bible now and I'm just like, oh, that's who I am. I don't argue and I don't complain. That's who I am, because that's who he is in me. I'm surprised I didn't get any, like, wait a second. No. You're no longer a slave to sin. You have power over sin. And that is the good news. He cleanses you. Sin no longer has any power over you. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." It's no longer your nature. You are a new creation. You might have a sin habit, but it's not who you are. And he does not care if you come to him and say, "I'm still smoking." God, help me with this, and he will help you all the way through it, all the way through the whole process. When you bring what is hindering you from him to him, there is no condemnation, there's no rejection, there's no shame, and there's no anxiety. He is unbelievable. There's only love and acceptance and learning to live in your new nature. He's unbelievable, the love. And he can, like I told you before, I was sitting at the table and I thought about somebody and I said, oh, that person just has such a drab personality. And I look over and there's Jesus sitting there. I just love her so much. And I was like, it changed my heart. Now I don't want to look at anybody without seeing Jesus in them first. I recognize that look of in love with her that he has given to me. And he made that person. And now everybody I look at, just like, I feel like I'm my mother. She loves everybody. Huh, Mom? She just loves everyone. And all my family would say that. And everybody loves her. But just loving and allowing him, that was a huge change in my heart. That moment. Did he rebuke me? Did he chastise me? No. He just used his love and that look. That was just like melt in my heart. Second Timothy 1:7. Actually, hang on. I jumped way too far forward. It's Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me, and I will also remain in you. Have you ever thought about that? You're in him. He's in you. I love thinking about things like this. If you were to go inside somebody and live how they live, wouldn't that be so cool? Or if they're living inside of you, what would you think? Oh, they're going to see how I do this. Oh, they're going to see. Oh, they're going to know that I get up at 8:30. Oh, no. You know. Interesting, right? He is in you and you are in him. It's not my point of this one, but. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can you save yourself? Can you do anything yourself for you? No, if you want the fruit, you have to remain in him. Right? You have to remain in him. And you will see. It says you will bear fruit. Doesn't it? That's a promise. You will bear fruit. You remain in him and you will bear fruit. There's change. There's change. In him we live and move and have our being. Power. So you experience him, it brings about change, and you're going to walk in power. Nobody's excited about that. You experience him, there's change, and you're going to walk in power. Okay, that's a little better. Two or three of us, that's good. You can get excited about this. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace. Do you know what his grace is? It enables you to live a holy life. Grace empowers you. It's what I always teach my kids or the kids is it's God's ability. Would you rather do it by your ability or God's ability? His ability is sufficient for you. You have been saved by his ability. You have been saved by grace. I love grace. And it's always available when you ask. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And sometimes it's humbling to ask, isn't it? God, I need help with this. Jesus came. He was born. He was here on the earth to destroy the works of the enemy. As he is, so are we in this world. We have the power to live a godly life. 2 Peter 1:3 through 4 says his divine power has given us everything we need to live or need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us of his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We have the power to live a holy, pleasing life to him. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He's given you power to trample on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You'll heal the sick. You'll raise the dead. You'll cleanse the leper. So on, right? All because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I love the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are you strong? Yes. You are strong. And I already know you're in the Lord. I hope. Most everyone, I think, is in here. I think I know everybody. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You put on the belt of truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You put on the shoes of peace. You put on, have the shield of faith with the helmet of salvation, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You guys, those are your weapons, whether they're protective or not. I don't believe that we go tearing down the enemy. I believe we walk in truth and we speak truth. I believe we walk in righteousness because that is our position. And the enemy is always trying to pull you out of righteousness, to get you out of your position with him, your right standing with him. Peace, the peace that passes all understanding, is your weapon. When you can walk in peace and the enemy is saying, how do I get this person out of peace? Faith. Who's the author of your faith? Who writes your faith? And how do you know what he's writing? Because you've spent time with him, because you've been with him, because he's revealing who he is to you. He's the author of your faith. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And it says praying and praying in the Spirit and praying with all types of prayer. Those are your weapons. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. It's a weapon. But do we see it as a weapon? Sometimes over a situation, do you ever just lift your hands? Your song, your praise, your worship is a weapon. The enemy can't stand it. Your clap, we just went through praise. You're clapping, you're declaring, you're singing. Sometimes your silence, but you will know because you're hanging with him. God, how do I pray for this person? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These weapons pull down. You can't stop thinking something. I start singing a song. Start praising him. Say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. An enemy, you try to keep coming at me, and I'm just going to praise him more. You can't change what you're thinking, change your desire, whatever it is. Just start praising him. Read the word. And if you can't, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you need to call somebody and say, hey, will you please pray for me? I can't even think of a scripture, and I don't have a Bible on hand. But that's the beauty of all of us. We can rely on each other. But your weapons are more than you know. I remember seeing, I had this vision of this gentleman, and he was, I mean, he had probably a weapon on every inch of his body. But I could tell they had never been used. Because he didn't know. He didn't know he had them. He didn't know they were in his possession. He didn't know how to use them or that they were even weapons. In closing, like I said before, I believe in this season, guys, we are going to experience more than we've ever experienced before. We're going to go farther than we've ever known, seen, heard. And you know, I'd love to give you the invitation, because if you feel like you've seen something goofy, if you've seen, you're experiencing something, I'd love for you to come talk to me, because I love what God is doing. But make sure you're with Jesus, please. And if you're experiencing things that aren't right, then maybe go see Natalie. Well, because, guys, sometimes trauma, sometimes things that we've gone through in life can really set your imagination or your thinking into it not being healthy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That means the imagination is pure. And there's so many things, guys, that try to derail us. And you don't even have to try. Turn on the television or something. And some of those things can derail you. And you can, with the Holy Spirit, move through them and have a healthy imagination, a healthy thinking, and be able to flow and experience Jesus without the garbage. Your love and desire ravish his heart. He loves it when you love him. When your desire is for him, he is so in love. And he can't help but reveal more of himself to you. Stay close to him, moment by moment, day by day. Realize that there is always more. There is always more, huh, bud? Always deeper encounters for you to enjoy. New revelations for him to unveil to you. And there's like certain people in this church, they'll come and talk to me, and then I'll be like, oh, I experienced that too. And then we'll go back and forth. And then they'll tell me a piece of what they have, and it'll make my revelation go further. And that's the beauty of all of us. Allow him to bring the change and the freedom that you desire. We really desire it because it is really freedom. And it's not, guys, it's not freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. It's freedom from baggage. I don't like to carry all that around. Unforgiveness, bitterness. It's not free. Allow him to bring the change that you so desire. And let me just give you a hint for the quiz, for the test. You'll always resist it. What he wants you to do, when he wants you to go ask for forgiveness, or, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. It's always for your freedom. It's hilarious that it's something that I will resist. So sometimes I'm like, ooh, I'm resisting that. God, is that what you want me to do? He's so good. You carry his glory and are destined to experience his presence in new and powerful ways, bringing his kingdom to earth. Go ahead, stand with me. I don't know if you want to or if you don't want to, that's fine, but would you just lay hands on somebody next to you and just start praying the goodness of God, that they would experience God, that they would know God, that they would see. Father, I just pray visions, revelation, that they would know you in an incredibly wonderful way. Lord, that your spirit would just rain upon them in dreams and visions, that they would experience and see and know and feel and touch and taste you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're speaking to us. We thank you that you're revealing your heart to us. We thank you that you're pouring out your spirit, that we may know you in a greater way. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, God. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. Have a great week.